Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. You're listening to the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Errol Lewis of the New York Daily News, sitting in for Brian. Whether you call it Troopergate or Choppergate or the Elliott mess, it seems they're still fighting tooth and nail in Albany over who did what. I'm talking about Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno's use of state aircraft and police to get to and from political fundraisers, and then the spying on Bruno and leaks to the press done by Governor Elliot Spitzer's aides. And now the question of whether those aides and Governor Spitzer told the whole truth about what they knew and what they did. Both sides are charging that politics lie at the heart of the matter, which isn't surprising since Joe Bruno is the state's highest-ranking Republican and Spitzer is the most powerful Democrat. Joining me for an update on Troopergate is Wayne Barrett, staff writer for The Village Voice, and my colleague Michael Goodwin, columnist for the New York Daily News. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing, Errol?
Good morning, Errol.
Okay, Wayne, today's papers have interviews with Christine Hayman, the state inspector general, who's been attacked by Senate Republicans for not giving subpoena power to the attorney general and making Spitzer's top aides testify under oath about their spying on Senator Bruno. What's Hayman saying in her defense?
Well, she's saying that there was no crime and consequently she couldn't make a referral. It strikes me, and I certainly asked this question at Andrew Cuomo's office, Cuomo never asked for it. That's the most bizarre thing that seems to be omitted from all of these stories. I mean, I've never met Hammond, but by all accounts, she's an experienced prosecutor. Look, a state inspector general is by nature almost even more than a DOI commissioner here in the city, and Michael certainly knows a lot about this, their agenda is affected by what the executive that they work for wants. It's a kind of in-house investigator, and it's always conceived that way. And one of the reasons why that's supposed to work is state agencies are more responsive to somebody who's an inside investigator and works for the same governor, or in DOI's case, the same mayor. But it's kind of a built-in conflict of interest, as she says in this story. And would you expect the most aggressive investigator looking at the governor's office and the IG's office? No, you wouldn't. And I don't think that's what we got here. I think, on the other hand, it's much ado about nothing in terms of whether or not she did what she should have done, because certainly Cuomo was pursuing the same stuff very aggressively, and he never sought a referral. He never raised the question of subpoena power. I think that's beyond dispute. I don't think anybody says he did.
Do you think that was a shortcoming on Cuomo's part to not ask for the subpoena power?
Well, I don't know whether it was a shortcoming. I'm not faulting Andrew for not doing it. I think Andrew was quite satisfied with the results of what he found. You know, everybody's called it a scathing report, and it certainly was highly critical of some of the things that were done at the governor's behest, although there's no clear indication that he knew anything about it, and he certainly denies that. It certainly was a scathing assessment of that. I think that's what Andrew's report was intended to do, and I think it basically did that.
It's understandable, Wayne, that the Republicans might want to keep the focus on Spitzer's problems, but are we seeing evidence of a backlash? There are several editorial boards have been commenting on that.
You know, I just read Michael's piece in the Weekly Standard, which I just asked Michael, you know, this is a guy who's been around as long as I have looking at the cesspool of Albany. I think he knows it's a cesspool. I think he's written that many times in the editorial page of your paper. Where would you rank this among the scandals that we're all aware of that have occurred in Albany over the years? It would be near the bottom of my list. It is the most inconsequential. I mean, Michael's piece in the Weekly Standard, though it's all based around this scandal, barely mentions the facts of this scandal. It kind of uses it as a door opener to look at the life of Elliot Spitzer. I think that's good judgment on Michael's part, because it's not a very persuasive case that anybody could make off of these facts about something that would undo a governor or anything like that. It's a tempest in a teapot so far. Now, you know, if it's ever revealed, now that the governor has put himself behind an eight ball by saying he didn't know any of this was going on, if it's ever revealed that he did know something about what was going on and authorized it, then it becomes a far more serious matter.
Well, Michael, just to bring listeners up to date, for those who haven't seen it, you authored a long and highly critical article in the Weekly Standard that says this whole flap going on now stems from Spitzer's ethics and temperament. And here's a quote from the article. You're saying that, quote, from the very beginning of his political career, there was evidence of a character problem, one marked by an uneasy relationship with the truth. And so without rehashing all of Spitzer's career, what are you getting at with that?
Well, it goes back, Errol, to his first two runs for Attorney General and the question of how he was financing those races. He openly lied to everybody about where he was getting the money and then finally confessed that it all came from his father, directly or indirectly. And clearly there were campaign violations that were never really rectified. And so I think that Elliot's a lot of this is something of the poison fruit from the poison tree, that when Elliot then says, I had nothing to do with this, I think we have to take it with a grain of salt. I think Elliot has talked about bringing ethics to Albany, but I think it behooves the press, including Wayne, to look at the man who would bring ethics. I mean, does this man live by good examples himself? And with Christine Hammond, for example, the Inspector General, there's a question there. She said she's the one who determined she had a conflict of interest. So I don't think it's a defense to say that, well, there's a built-in conflict of interest. She's the one who, in the course of her investigation, decided she had a conflict of interest because her boss was named in some of the emails about this the Dirty Tricks plot. So I think that we can't have it both ways here. If we want to have ethics in Albany, and I think we all do, then I think we have to set a very high standard for the people who supposedly are going to bring those ethics. And if their own ethics are questioned, as I think Spitzer's have been throughout his career, and I think there are a lot of issues when he was Attorney General that, you know, raised the question, did he use his office to punish his enemies, those sorts of things, are hanging out there. So my point in writing with Fred Siegel, the Weekly Standard piece, and in some of the columns I've written about this, is that Elliot Spitzer, I don't believe, can be trusted, cannot be taken at his word only. We need some further proof. And I think the way to get that is for the governor and for all of his aides to testify under oath. And I think the really important issue here is that he is acting like a guilty man. I mean, to have his office forbid the Attorney General from questioning his two top aides who were involved in this, I think is extraordinary. And this is actually quite significant, I believe, to be using the police, to be using the Homeland Security official to effectively track the movements of Joe Bruno for clear political purposes. There was no other purpose but a political one. So to use the police in political operations, I think, is a bright line that I thought we all agreed upon years ago in this country and in this state was a no-no.
So you're disagreeing, in other words, with Wayne's assessment that this ranks fairly low in the long parade of scandals that we've seen in Albany?
I think potentially it's very important. The problem is we don't know exactly what happened. So before we would rank this, I think we need to know all the facts. And we don't have the facts because the governor would not let his aides testify and because none of them have testified under oath. So I think we need to get the governor and all of his aides under oath. That presumably is what the Ethics Commission is aiming at. But I think also we need to have it publicly. I mean, former Governor Cuomo, Ed Koch, others have told Spitzer, look, 80% of the public doesn't believe you, had nothing to do with this. Let's get it under oath. The governor of New York should be able to raise his right hand and say clearly and openly whether he knew, whether he was involved. We should be able to see all the emails and all the private accounts. I mean, this is significant enough that I think we need to pierce the trust me defense.
I'm Errol Lewis of the New York Daily News, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. I'm talking this morning with Wayne Barrett, staff writer for the Village Voice, and Michael Goodwin, my colleague at the New York Daily News, about the Spitzer mess up in Albany. Well, Michael, what would be the right forum in which to do that? I mean, we've got a Senate Investigation and Government Operations Committee holding hearings. The State Inspector General is out of it. The Attorney General says he's done as much as he can do. And the Albany County District Attorney, who happens to be a Democrat, says he's still looking for evidence that there was a crime committed in the first place. Where's the right place for Spitzer to go and raise his right hand?
Well, I think that each of these has served some purpose. And so I don't know that we're down to final choices yet. But I will make one point about the Republicans in the state Senate. Now, obviously, it's going to be partisan. I mean, to suggest otherwise would be foolish. But just because it's partisan doesn't mean it's always wrong. And I think that, I mean, our two-party system is created that way. One of the things that came out from the Senate Republican hearings that did not get enough attention, I thought, was the fact that an aide to Christine Hammond, the Inspector General, testified, and that's where we first learned that there was a conflict of interest, that the Inspector General herself determined she had a conflict of interest and stopped her investigation. That's a significant finding that we did not know for the first 3 weeks of this whole mess. So each of these things, I think, has the ability and the potential to produce partial facts. I think to get the whole fact, to get the whole truth, we're going to need one final investigation. Right now, that looks like the Ethics Commission, because I think if the DA is only going to examine the question of criminality, I think there's a higher standard here than whether it's indictable. I think there is an ethics issue. There are civil violations of public officers' law and that sort of thing. But beyond even whether there's violations, I think we just need to know. And that's, I think, the one shortcoming, among several shortcomings of the Cuomo report, is that it leaves too many unanswered questions.
Well, before we get to that higher question of ethics, do either of you think a crime was committed here on the facts that we've seen so far?
Absolutely not. I mean, that's what Cuomo concluded. Let me just say a couple of things about what Michael has said. I mean, he seems to be suggesting that the best way to investigate this is to turn it over to Joe Bruno. On his worst day, on Elliot Spitzer's worst day of his life, ethically, he's heads and shoulders ahead of Joe Bruno. You know, if you read Michael's piece, he barely devotes two sentences to Joe Bruno's performance in Albany. We've all watched it for years. We know what kind of a man Joe Bruno is. I mean, this is supposedly about the abuse of the FOIL process, the Freedom of Information process. Joe Bruno refuses to comply with the FOIL laws. And here he is crying foul about the way in which they may have been abused by a gubernatorial aide. I mean, Joe Bruno gets almost no attention in this piece. Absolutely
Let him tell us
this morning what a paragon of virtue Joe Bruno is.
Okay, hold on, Wayne. You want to respond, Michael?
No, I don't. I mean, I just think Wayne is trying to confuse the subject as he usually does. I mean, that's a ridiculous comment that I'm here to defend.
Well, wait a minute, guys.
Joe Bruno, Mike, a 5,000 word piece?
It's about 4,000 words. But Wayne, let me ask your question this way to Michael. At the end of the Weekly Standard article, you say, Michael, that Spitzer is, quote, damaged politically, perhaps beyond repair. Any new sordid details could finish him. Is that a dramatic flourish? I know how you tabloid columnists write, but is a little early.
Small world, huh?
Is it a little early to bury the administration?
I don't think we have buried the administration in that article. I think this is essentially about Elliot Spitzer's personal ethics. I think the conclusion you discuss is about what happens next. And I think there is lots of talk in Albany that if the other shoe were to drop, in that he clearly was involved, that he knew about it, he sanctioned it, whatever his role was, I think politically, at the very least, it's extremely dangerous. I mean, I think both of you have probably heard lots of talk that he's now a one-term governor at most. I mean, I don't know whether that's true. It's talk. But I think that the seriousness of this, despite Wayne's apologies for Elliot Spitzer, I think the seriousness of this is undisputed by most people who follow politics and who follow government in Albany.
Well, Wayne,
this is not something that I think is going to go away because Wayne's decided that only Republicans are bad and all Democrats are good by virtue of birth. It's simply not going to wash.
Well, Wayne, when Michael says that the fact that you have these ethical issues going on at the top of the Spitzer administration could compromise his ability to enact other reforms or compromise his credibility as a reformer. What do you think of that?
Well, I think Michael accurately reported in the piece that the whole thing started when Spitzer was trying to get a campaign finance reform law through the state Senate. Of course, Joe Bruno was going to stand up and oppose any form of significant campaign finance reform. Michael's piece suggests that he had good reason to do that because he thought it would hurt Republicans. But so he's already having, I think what we're really seeing, I think the undercurrent story here is that the Democrats are within two seats of gaining control of the Senate for the first time in decades, that 2008 looks like a very big Democratic year in New York, that possibility is what I think is the undercurrent to this entire story. And I think essentially what's happened is that Bruno has blown all out of proportion a few missteps by Spitzer aides with no evidence that it goes to Spitzer. I certainly agree with Michael completely that Spitzer and his aides should testify fully under oath before the State Ethics Commission. And any attempt to limit that questioning I would find very objectionable. But I certainly think there's no evidence of a crime. That's what Andrew Cuomo found. I can't even imagine what the crime would be. So it's an ethical violation that merits, at this stage at least, the examination that the State Ethics Commission will give it. It's the same people who issued the report against Alan Hevesy, another Democrat. At least two of the four people were appointed by Republican officials
okay.
to be making this decision. I think it's a safe place to go. We ought to get full testimony. We ought to get a full result.
Okay, we're going to leave it right there. Thank you so much for joining me, both of you. Wayne Barrett, the staff writer for The Village Voice and the author of Grand Illusion, The Untold Story of Rudy Giuliani and 9/11, and Michael Goodwin, columnist for the New York Daily News.